I'm going to talk about something most of you probably haven't heard yet, a tool called, or a function called Zeno. So the title doesn't even contain that name, so you're not confused, but instead it's called Migrating VMs from Zen to KVM, which is just a side effect of the whole thing, but you get to see that. About me, so who am I? I'm Alexander Graf. I work in the SUSE Studio team. Who heard of SUSE Studio? All right, that's quite a significant number. Nice, nice, very good, very good. You get to see some pictures of that later. I work on KVM and QEMU stuff. So despite me being a team that basically only does Ruby work, I end up writing more assembly code than Ruby, so it fit in really well. And some things I'm known for, if you ever heard of me, I wrote the server PowerPC port for KVM. I did Mac OS 10 in KVM. I do mainframe stuff on KVM. I did Nested, the original port of Nested SVM, which Jörg took over then. So whenever something seems completely undoable and weird and crazy, that's me. Same thing for the next part. Luckily, someone else started it, but this one is about as crazy. So the original issue we have is, well, we're running a server, and that server is running KVM. So now we're getting from a customer, from a partner, from whoever, we're getting an image that only works on Zen, because it's a Zen image. Well, we want to run that one on KVM, but it doesn't work. It just won't boot. Have you ever tried that? It just won't work. You can't run Zen images just like that on KVM. It's a completely different architecture. So what do? We use Zeno. Zeno is originally written by Gerd Hoffmann. There he is. There he is. Raise your hand. There you go. Praise him if you appreciate it. He originally wrote that as a migration story for Red Hat to move on to KVM. Turned out it works without migration stories. But the idea was to run Zen images on KVM just like that. Nice idea. And I wanted to take the one up and, well, make it a bit more professional, as in, you know, where we are now, we have everything combined into QEMU, so have that one combined into QEMU as well. So the original meat part of it was a small shim layer kernel that just traps hypercalls from Zen and basically enables the Zen kernel, then the ZenPV kernel, to behave like a real world guest inside a KVM context. Don't worry if you don't get all that now. I have some really cool slides on that later. The main thing really is that by now it mostly uses QEMU infrastructure, so you don't get to see all the old Zener parts. If you ever used Zener before, this is all gone. It's all integrated into QEMU these days. So how does it work? All my slides concentrate on x86-64. Zen was invented back in the day when 32-bit machines were really popular and well used, and that's where it performs really well. On 64-bit, it's horrible, and that's what my slides show also. Unfortunately for me, I prefer 64-bit over 32-bit, so everything I show is on 64-bit, which means Zen won't get off that picture too well, and Zeno won't either because, well, obviously it's slow since it implements the architecture of 64-bit Zen. But don't worry about it. Real Zen is just as bad. If we want to take a look at how Zen works, how KVM works, how Zener works, we first need to understand how real hardware actually works. So what we have is we have a split world. We have hardware that we run on, and then we have a kernel, which is Linux in our case usually, and some user-space applications that just run on that kernel. And let's imagine we want to write some data to a file. How exactly is the path down to the disk and back again? Well, we take that file, and now our LibreOffice, it's not OpenOffice, right? It's LibreOffice. Our LibreOffice tells the kernel, hey, kernel, I want to write some data. When the data goes into the hardware, it tells the hardware, yep, there's new data for you, and then the hardware says, all right, cool, I'm done writing that data now, tells the kernel that it's done writing the data, and the kernel tells user space process, all right, your data is done. Pretty easy, simple, straightforward path.
That's That's the optimal
case. It's the optimal case, yes. But that's the one that we're looking at for the simple, just to see the ways that actually calls go, right, in the system. So if we take a look at the Zen PV architecture, the normal Zen case for Linux on Linux, all the guest kernels, DOM0 kernel and DOMU kernel, they do not run in kernel mode. Instead, they all run as simple user space processes. So instead of having a user space tool just directly talk to a kernel, well, you can't just have two separate user space processes talk to each other just like that. It always needs to go through some level of interaction. So what we do is, what Zen does is, if we want to write a file that user space process goes into the hypervisor, then in the kernel, then in the hypervisor again, then in the other kernel that handles all the disk IO, which then again goes onto the hardware. Now the hardware is fine, all right, I wrote my data. It goes over to the hypervisor, to the DOM0 kernel to say, all right, the request is done. So the DOM0 kernel goes over to the hypervisor again to pass information to the DOMU kernel, which then goes again to the Zen hypervisor and then again to the user space process. Want me to repeat that one?
Yeah.
I can do the animation again, right?
No, please do the nested SVN again.
Just so you see the path. It's not as complicated if you think about it deeply, but it's a pretty tough start. So this is what Zen does every time you want to just write some data to your disk. How does KVM work on that one? Well, in KVM we have the special kernel module that does not replace the kernel. So instead of running some Zen hypervisor that is its own kernel on as operating system as kernel on the hardware, we're running Linux on our hardware. And then some small layer that just enables us to switch to another guest context. And with KVM, we always have some user space program that handles all the I/O. Well, most of the I/O. So what happens now is that if we want to write a file, our guest user space again goes to the kernel, can talk to it directly because it's in a virtualized context, goes over to KVM to the host kernel and to our QEMU process, which then again triggers a normal I/O request. Down to the hardware, hardware says, all right, everything's fine. It goes the normal I/O request path over to QEMU, and QEMU then again tells it all the way back to the guest user space through the interaction levels that are pretty obvious on the lines there. I find that one a bit cleaner and easier to read, but maybe, I mean, your melange may vary on that. I just find it easier to understand. All right, cool. So what do we do now if we want to marry those two? So we have those two worlds, we have some you know, the way that that Zen does things and the way that KVM does things, and the architectures just don't fit together. But how do we marry them? Well, it's pretty simple. We start off from the KVM architecture, since that's where I come from, and add up the Zen architecture on top. So we have this guest context over there, right? The guest context with the guest kernel and the guest user space. And how did Zen do it? Well, Zen had a Zen kernel below the guest kernel and guest user space both in user space. So we do the same. We just create a new kernel called Zener kernel, have that run as kernel in the guest context, and then we can show the guest kernel and guest user space both in user space. Now all we need is to emulate disk devices. We need to add some stops, some functionality into QEMU to handle the Zen protocols. But fortunately, GERD already did that one for real Zen, so we can just handle them. QEMU already knows how to talk all the Zen device protocols, so there's no real work to do there. Very nice. So what happens now if we write something? Well, we basically go the Zen way, guest user space over to Zener, to the guest kernel, to Zener again, and then the very normal KVM route. Everything is just the same as with KVM. As soon as the hardware is done, well, we go to QEMU, it acknowledges that everything is fine, and goes back to the guest the same way it would for a normal guest, but this time around, since we're using Zener, the guest kernel and the guest user space have to go this indirect route through the Xana kernel. Everything else is just the same. Who can imagine that this is slightly slower than bare metal? All right. At least I see some hands. It definitely is slower than bare metal, whatever you do. Whatever Christoph tells you is wrong. But that's only half of the story. So we basically have I/O now, but well, we also need some memory in the virtual machine. And if you ever look at Xen a bit more closely, Xen does its own share of power virtualized memory management. But who knows about virtual memory? All right. So some small introduction on what virtual memory really is. If you have some user space process, so I'm an application and I see the world, as in the memory world, as some linear space. I just see a lot of memory there. But that memory is not real, it's virtual. Because in reality, this memory, if I have chunks in there, some addresses in that memory, in reality they are mapped over to some chunks over in physical memory. And I can have a lot of gaps. I can even have duplicate mappings and everything you can imagine. This is just plain simple theory on virtual memory. This is the simple slide. How does it work when Linux wants to modify this mapping? Well, Linux goes ahead and says, all right, I need some new mapping over here, right? I need this new... That was an animation too quick. All right. Linux says, I need some new mapping. That's the red one. I need a new mapping. Just goes ahead, changes the mapping. There we go, boom, everything's fine. Very simple. Linux can just change mappings. Well, great new world, right? So what if we add the Xen hypervisor to all this game? Linux now runs as user space process, and well, user space processes are not allowed to change their own memory mappings, since otherwise we would just completely breach all security. So what instead we have to do is we have to have the guest kernel call Xen, if it wants to create a mapping, call Xen, and Xen then goes ahead and changes the mapping for the guest kernel and can do some sanity checks in between. With Xena, we do the same. We just go ahead, want to change the mapping, the guest user space, the guest kernel goes ahead, says, tells Xena, hey, I want to change this one mapping, and then Xena goes in and creates it. It's the exact same, just that this is all running in guest context, which means we're in yet another level of virtualization. Yay. Can you actually see the blue back there? Yeah, all right, cool. So instead of just having the simple translation over from virtual memory to physical memory, we actually have another layer over to the real physical memory on the physical machine, because what the virtual machine sees is again virtual, since it's a virtual machine. So we have a translation from virtual memory to virtual memory to physical memory. Good for us is that this translation down here, the two levels of page tables, this is all done in hardware these days. So all the level down here, so this translation here, is done by KVM seamlessly in hardware and is fast. So we don't have to worry about it. So we only need to care about this small part that Xena does, and everything else is just handled by KVM. An idea for optimization there, well, I told you before that if the guest user, if the guest kernel would be able to just change its mappings, we would breach security, right? Since changing the mappings means it could just modify any memory, any memory basically, and access any memory. So the thing is that we're now running in this KVM guest context, which has its own mapping down here, so we can do all the security we need down in this mapping. And just leave, well, all the guests to its own memory and to control its own memory, even when it's running in the kernel in the guest context. So this is not implemented yet, but the idea is that we basically just go ahead and modify it. And we're good. And by that point in time, we should be the same, we should achieve, we should be able to achieve the same speed in Xener that we do in normal KVM guests, almost. Which brings us to the nice next topic. What does performance look like? These are very preliminary numbers. It's all on 64-bit, which is the worst case for every Xen architecture. And this is using the current development version of Xener, which is not even upstream yet. So there is a lot of room for improvement. But just so you got a broad grasp of it. One test I always do is I just execute bin echo 10,000 times. And measure how long it takes. I developed this really cool small test case back when I worked on the PowerPC MMU emulation, the MMU stacking. So you can run the PowerPC guest and PowerPC on a PowerPC machine, and was working on the MMU there. Since, well, spawning a process is really heavy for the memory management unit. You need to create new page table entries, you trap because you do copy on write, so they're actually only mapped read-only at first, and then you trap on them and then change them to read-write. So you do a lot of memory operations, memory mapping operations. So this is the worst case you can ever find for Xen. If you want to try this on your Xen machine, good luck. So what does performance look like if we compare bare metal over KVM, over Xen, and Xener? Well, can you see that? Cool. So bare metal obviously is the fastest. I would be very surprised if it wasn't, because that would mean we have a bug in our test case. But KVM comes very, very close to that. I need to also tell you that this KVM case is not optimized here. So we could use huge pages on the host, which would make the difference in numbers even smaller. This is all using 4K pages, so no optimization there. Xen DOM 0 is the host Linux we see in Xen, and that one is already really bad. It's almost like twice as slow as bare metal. It's more than twice as slow as bare metal. Funnily enough, a DOM U was faster for me than the DOM 0. I have no idea why. I did everything in TempFS on the DOM 0 and DOM U, but apparently the DOM U had less overhead for whatever reason. And Xener is the worst of the bunch. Well, the biggest reason there is that it's not optimized. So this is just a pretty simple implementation of the Xen of the Xen memory management protocol. So it's not made to be fast. The next test case I have is how good are we on I/O? So this is a pretty stupid test case, but I just create a sparse file in TempFS and read that out, which means reading is a knob. It doesn't do anything because it's just zeros, right? So we are only bound on a real host, we are only bound by the memory bandwidth we have on the machine. If we're running in a guest context, we're basically bound by the performance of the link between the host and the guest. So this one is really nice to figure out how fast can we transfer bulk data from the host to the guest, the best case we can ever get, which we'll never get to. But this is the best case we could potentially ever achieve. And it gives us some really nice, well, idea feeling for how fast an interface is. So everybody achieves pretty much the same speed on the first three ones. So bare metal is really fast, obviously, because we're just reading from TempFS. KVM was even faster than bare metal at first, because it does SMP, it uses some SMP features, it does some AIO for multiple CPUs, and I was running this on a newer machine. So the memory bandwidth of multiple CPUs is faster than the memory bandwidth of a single CPU. And so they could, you know, crunch numbers faster, transfer data faster. This number here is with me setting a task set on a single CPU for the KVM guest, so the KVM guest can only run on a single CPU, just like the benchmark on the host does. The The Zen DOM 0 test case, you can see that one, is already slower than bare metal. Obviously, because the DOM 0 kernel has to do its memory management through the Zen hypervisor, which slows things down. But the most surprising piece in here I found was the Zen DOM U number. We have about 500 megabytes per second, best case transfer rate, from the host to a user, to a guest, to a Zen guest, which is abysmal. It's like the worst. I wouldn't even have imagined that number. This is even using the fast disk backend in Zen, not the slow one. And the last of the bunch is obviously Zener, and Zener performs pretty much in between. It's you know, it's not an optimized interface, it's fine, it's rolling along, but it's fast enough. It's definitely faster than IDE. So this one's already good. Now to the big question on, well, why should I use Zener? I mean, why would I need it, right? And why would, well, seriously, I need it? Well, the thing is that there are some cases where we have some servers and we have images, and the images just don't fit the hypervisor of the server. In my case, this was true for, we have KVM servers for SUSE Studio. And we build Zen images and we build EC2 images. But we want to allow you to run those images on our servers. Well, we can either provide you with Zen servers so we can run the Zen images, or we can be inventive and just use Zener, develop Zener, and run the Zen and EC2 images on KVM. Some small background on SUSE Studio. If you haven't seen it, it's the front page with a nice robot. Actually, the front page has changed by now, but I like the old one better. And this is the feature I was really trying to get at, test drive. So if you build an image over at SUSE Studio, you can have that image run on our servers, get a VNC viewer over to that machine, to that virtual machine, and just work with it as if it was local. So if we want to do that for Zen images, you see on the top right there, Zen image. If you want to do that for Zen images, we need to do some hacks either way, because we want to run on KVM. So right now what we do is we run the real Zen kernel in KVM, in a KVM virtual machine, and then on top run a DOM U kernel as DOM 0. As you can imagine, that doesn't work for every case and breaks quite a lot. So instead, doing Zener would mean that we have a lot less to worry about since the stack is easier. Another case where it's really useful, which is the title of the presentation, is migrating off of Zen. So if you have some servers that are running on Zen, and you still have your virtual machines on them, well, you can either do some migration, some V2V migration, and just move them over, or you can just run them. Obviously, running them is a lot easier for the admin than moving them over, and a lot less failure prone. So you can just take your old images, run them on KVM, and be good. And then you can migrate slowly off your old Zen images, Zen servers, over to KVM. The same actually would work out for the other way around. So running a KVM image on Zen HVM, at least, should work as soon as the Zen folks get the act together and finally use the proper recent version of QMU. So the other way around should be possible as well. This one is harder. So how do I use it? Well, if you've ever seen KVM command lines, it's the same. It's exactly the same. All you need to do is you say, all right, I want to use the Zen PV machine, which is a new machine. Usually we use the PC machine. And if you actually want to boot something, you need to tell it which kernel to boot. A kernel can either be pvgrub, which means you're running grub inside the guest, which can then load a kernel from the disk, or it can be just a normal VM Linux file to boot directly from a kernel. If you want to have some output, I'd recommend you to also enable the frame buffer, otherwise you don't see anything on the display. But you also get a text interface over to the virtual machine, so you don't need to. Which brings us over to the next part of the demo. Let's hope that one works. I tried it several times before, but you never know, right? You never know. Let's see if it goes well. There you go. So this gets me onto the machine that it's running on, because Xana doesn't quite work on macOS yet. It should actually eventually, but right now it doesn't. And then, no, wait. There we go. So now I'm booting that Xen image. A Xen image I created using Kiwi, basically using SUSE Studio, and put the output on the virtual frame buffer, which I exported through VNC over to this machine. So it's not running locally, this is running on a server over at SUSE. But as you can see, it's just booting fine. It's booting the guest. This is a Xen guest. It's a Xen kernel, it's a Xen disk image. It even does networking, so it just emulates the Xen network interface controller. And I can log in just like that and do random stuff. Like uname. You can see I'm actually running on a Xen kernel here. Xen kernel. While my CPU is a QEMU virtual CPU. So this is running on KVM. I'm running a Xen kernel on KVM using Xeno. Very cool, huh? Very cool. Applause is nice now. All right, for the demo, that was my backup demo slide. The big question now is, how do I get it, right? I mean, you probably want to play around with it now, now that you've seen it and seen that it works. Well, you just get it from that Git URL, Git repo. Just Git clone on that one, get it, it's yours. It will hopefully get upstream in QEMU 0.15, which is due pretty soon. It was hanging on some Xen patches that I had to, that I really wanted to get in first. Wanted to have in first so I can base on them. And the Xen patches got delayed by me not reviewing them for a while. So this will hopefully be in 0.15. If it doesn't make it, well, you know whose fault it is. So now that you've seen what works, well, what doesn't? There are obviously some places that need improvement. SMP doesn't work yet. There is some code for that, but for our use case at least, for SUSE Studio, I don't care about SMP in the guest. It's nice to have, sure, but if you just, why would I want to give you more than a single CPU assigned to some servers of ours that you can just use to play around? Doesn't make sense. So SMP is disabled by now, it doesn't work. It can use some speed improvements. It's still fast already, but there's always some other bar, like it shouldn't really be slower than real Xen. It might even be faster in some cases, like the optimization ideas I've had before, right? And obviously it needs upstreaming, since otherwise the whole thing would become unmaintained after a while, and then nobody wants to play with it, and nobody uses it, and then it's one of those dead projects again. But the bottom line of all this really is, let's get along well, like the Xen forks and the KVM forks. Just, cuddle, be together, and ask questions. Thank you. Ask questions. There's two microphones there. You just need to stand up and walk over to one of them. I'm very open to answering things, because we still have half an hour left. So you really should ask things, otherwise we'll run out early. All right. Oh, there we go.
Do you have some kind of mini Zen kernel running inside the guest, or isn't that needed with Xeno?
So Xeno is basically a mini Zen kernel. That's exactly what it is. It is its own code base. It's very small, very well easy to look at. If you want to check the code, a lot easier than Xen. But it's its own kernel. Yes, it's basically running a self-made kernel inside the guest.
It's like a mini OS.
It's like mini OS, just different. Yes, right. No more questions? All right, cool, then I guess I was pretty conclusive. Thanks a lot for listening, and have fun with the next talks. Thanks.
And if any of you just kind of thinks of a question after all, or feedback, or whatever, just come over. I'm here.